Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? One of the most enshrined and unquestionable principles in our own society is the principle of wealth redistribution. The idea that he who has much should have much taken away from him in order to give to him who has little or nothing. That's an economic principle that is unquestionably enshrined in our present society. But we don't find that kind of principle in the Bible, and especially not in spiritual things. For example, here we read in verse 12, For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Now, this is a physical principle. We can apply it in the physical world. For example, we think of somebody who is exercising and who is fit. If they continue in that way, then they will become fitter, healthier. On the contrary, of course, also, the person who lets themselves go and who has little fitness will lose the little fitness and health that they have. It's also true, of course, in an intellectual realm. The person who has used his mind and developed it and kept it stimulated will be able to take in much more. Likewise, the person who's allowed their mind to go weak and lazy, they will lose even the knowledge that they might have gained through their lives. It's true also on an ethical level. How does a person become ethically strong? Well, it's not by sitting there doing nothing. The person who develops a good moral habits is often the result of practice, of repetition. The person who practices self-denial finds self-denial easier and easier as it goes on, whereas the person who doesn't and who succumbs to temptation, eventually succumbing becomes easier and easier and easier, and they'll lose even the ethical base that they had. But Jesus uses this principle here primarily in the spiritual realm. Yes, it's true in these other realms, but it's especially true in the spiritual realm. Use of spiritual things increases receptivity and ability, but misuse or abuse of spiritual things makes a person even less receptive, even less spiritual. Whosoever hath spiritual receptivity, spiritual sensitivity, spiritual interest, to him shall be given. But the person who hasn't will eventually lose even what maybe they've been brought up with. Now, Jesus here uses this principle and then explains it. And we might look at it this evening under two headings. First of all, blessed eyes, and secondly, blinded eyes. blessed eyes and blinded eyes. The blessed eyes are those who have, and to them shall be given. The blinded eyes are those who have not, and from them shall be taken away even what they have. The blessed eyes are those described in verse 11. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The blinded eyes are those of whom it said, to them it is not given. The blessed eyes are described for us in verse 16. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The blinded eyes are described for us in verse 13. Seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. But we'd like to focus, first of all, upon blessed eyes. Blessed eyes. And it all arises out of this question, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And this answer is basically twofold. And the first answer is this: I speak in parables to reveal truth to seekers, to reveal truth to those who have an interest. The word parable is made up of two Greek words, para and balo. Para means beside, and balo means to cast. So literally it means to cast beside, to throw alongside. And that's what a parable is. It's a story that is thrown alongside, that is cast alongside a spiritual lesson in order to make it clearer to those who hear it. A parable is making a comparison between a known truth and an unknown truth. It's using the familiar to teach about the unfamiliar. For example, take this parable, which these words are found in the middle of, the parable of the sower. Here we have a story about a sower put alongside a spiritual truth in order to make it clearer. We have a known truth, the fact that seeds, fruitfulness depends on the ground if they fall in. We have a known truth used to explain an unknown truth, the effect of the word of God in hearers. We have the familiar, the very familiar agricultural illustration used to teach about the unfamiliar, the spiritual world. And Jesus really is using these parables, these stories, to present truth in a new light. It's to present truth in a way that will stimulate interest in those who are interested. It's to create a curiosity in his hearers. It's to provoke questioning. It's to arouse interest. It's to make them more ready to receive spiritual truth. And we see that is the effect that this parable has. He tells the parable, then the disciples come and ask him about it, and he explains it to them. And so the parable reveals truth to seekers. It reveals truth to the interested. It arouses their curiosity. It provokes a questioning in them. It makes them begin to think and inquire. The familiar is used to teach the unfamiliar. The comparison is made between a known truth and an unknown truth. And the meaning is not on the surface. Anybody who just heard the story and who didn't hear the Lord's explanation wouldn't be any the wiser. We are wiser because we know what comes after. But you imagine you're the first people to hear this sermon. And imagine you just heard the first part, verses 1 to 9, concluded with, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And if you read that and try and empty your mind of all that you do know about the parable of the sower, and if you imagine yourself just having verses 1 to 9, you wouldn't have any idea
what the Lord was teaching. You wouldn't know if he was just telling a story about agriculture. You wouldn't know if he was teaching about the word and hearing the word or not. You wouldn't have any idea. There's no clue given. He simply ends the story, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." How would you feel if a minister came into this pulpit, told a story about a farmer, and said, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear," and walked out? You'd think, well, that wasn't spiritual, that wasn't any good. And yet this is what Jesus does. "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear," and ends the sermon. But notice what happens. Those who are already interested, those who are seeking answers to life's questions, have their curiosity aroused. Their questions begin to arise in their minds, and we see this repeatedly in the Gospels. And they don't leave him alone. They don't let him, as it were, walk out the building. They pursue him, they follow him, they inquire. And so he then brings out the unknown by the means of the known, the unfamiliar by the means of the familiar, a spiritual lesson by throwing alongside it this simple story. And this is what Jesus is meaning when he says here, "Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance." Whoever has a spiritual interest, to him shall be given more insight, more knowledge, more light, more truth. "To whomsoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance." And that was the experience of those who were seeking, who were interested, who were inquiring. They had this interest, and their interest meant that they asked questions. Their interest meant that they pursued lines of inquiry. Their interest meant that they sought after more knowledge, and to them it was given so that they had an abundance. Here are, as Jesus says, "Blessed eyes, blessed are your eyes," verse 16, "for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Blessed are your eyes because they see through the parable, or at least they want to see through the parable. They have a desire to see through the parable. How blessed are your eyes, how blessed are your ears, for they hear. You hear that there's something deeper in this story. You sense that there's a deeper meaning, and you have a desire to find out about it. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. And then he goes on to say in verse 17, "For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Jesus is saying, you're not only blessed above most of your generation who have no interest, you're blessed way above even the brightest Old Testament saint. It's marvel enough that God has blessed them with that interest, with that curiosity, with that inquiring, with that seeking. How different they are from the general population. Why is this? As Jesus said, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Count yourself blessed, he's saying, if you have this interest. Count yourself blessed if you've been given a seeking heart and an inquiring mind. This is a heavenly blessing. This is a gift of God. This is not something that comes naturally to human nature. Blessed are your eyes because they see, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But more than that, you're blessed above the Old Testament saints. He says that many prophets, many righteous men, have desired to see and have not seen them. What's he saying here? He's saying, think of the Old Testament saints. We think of Jacob. Think of Noah. Think of David. Think of Isaiah. What characterized them? What characterized them was this seeking, this desiring, this wanting more. And yet they were left unsatisfied. We read, for example, in Genesis 49:18, these words of Jacob, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. He's waiting and waiting, but he's not seeing all that he wanted to see. In Psalm 14, the psalmist says, oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. You see again this desire, this anxiety, this longing. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. Isaiah himself, it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him. Later on he says, oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down. And Jesus is saying, that's what I've done. I've rent the heavens and I've come down. And you're seeing what Isaiah longed to see and wasn't able to see. I am what Jacob waited for. I am what David longed for. I'm the one Abraham looked forward to see, but couldn't see it as clearly as you do. How blessed you are. It's, we might use an illustration. If you imagine the Old Testament saints in a dark world, and they were given, as it were, a little torch, a lantern, with which to find the way to safety and refuge. And they used it so well. They didn't have great light, but they had sufficient light. And the light they had, they used it well to find their way to the Saviour in the midst of the shadows and the darkness of the Old Testament. But now he's saying, in your day, the Son of Righteousness has arisen. You have light incomparable and unparalleled. You are seeing things and hearing things that none of these Old Testament prophets or righteous men saw. The great question is, though, are you using the Son with the same dedication as they used the lantern? The sad thing is that though the Old Testament saints and prophets only had a little torch, most of them made more progress than those who have the Son. And this is what Jesus is saying to these people. He's saying, realize your privilege. They desired, they longed, they prayed, they waited, but the Son never rose. You're now in the day of the sunshine. The Son of Righteousness has arisen with healing in his wings. You're seeing me, you're hearing me in a way that they never did. How blessed are your eyes, how blessed are your ears. And can he not say that to yourself too? How blessed are your eyes, how blessed are your ears. You are hearing things from the gospel. You're hearing about the person and work of Christ that they never heard, that they never had a chance to hear, that they would have given anything to hear and to see. And how are you using it? The sun has arisen. And are you choosing the darkness? The sun has arisen. Yet are you just staying static and still? The sun has arisen. Salvation is waiting. You hear it in a clear way that they never had. through the Gospels and Epistles. Are your eyes blessed? And Christian, if you're here tonight and you've been blessed with a seeking, an inquiring, a curious mind, a soul that hungers and thirsts and longs, thank God for it. This has been given to you. It's not natural to you. That's the great principle he's teaching here. It's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Why is it that when you hear a parable, you don't just listen to an interesting story and walk out, but you say, what does that mean? What's that saying to me? What's the application? What can I learn from this? That's of God. That's a mark of God's work in your life. That's a mark of God blessing your eyes and God blessing your ears. And how you should praise God for it. When the vast majority of your fellow men and women have no interest whatsoever in the parables or the meaning of them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. But then we have blinded eyes, very solemnly, because while the parables had one purpose of revealing the truth to seekers, it also had another purpose. And that was to conceal the truth from unbelievers. To hide it from the disinterested. Verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. These are the people who are described as whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. This is recounted for us also in Mark. And Mark describes those here as those that are without. Those who are outside. Those who are not in the kingdom. Those who are out with the covenant people of God. He's saying they are out with. And these parables, yes, they are for revealing to those who are within, but they are for concealing to those who are without. They are intended to blind, blinded eyes, to deafen, deaf ears. These were people who had seen as previous generations had never seen, and who had heard as previous generations had never heard, and yet they refused to see and to hear. They had been given truth unparalleled, and yet what was their reaction? Well, we read of it in, for example, Matthew 9 and verse 11, when the Pharisees saw Jesus sitting with publicans and sinners, they said, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Later on, they say of him in the same chapter, he casteth out devils through the prince of devils. And then again, in chapter 12, verse 2, behold, they say critically, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. Verse 14, the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. And verse 24, the Pharisees said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Look at what they were seeing. Listen to what they were hearing, and notice their response. They didn't want the light. They didn't want the truth. Indeed, they ascribed it to the devil himself. And it was in response to that that Jesus began to teach in parables in an unparalleled way, in a way he had not done hitherto, in a way that the disciples noted. 7 parables are in these chapters. And the disciples come and they note there's been a change in his ministry, and they say, why have you started teaching so much with such concentration in parables? And Christ basically says, because they are rejecting the truth, therefore I am withdrawing the truth. Because they won't have the truth in the plain sense, I'm going to preach it in a concealed manner that they will not be able to understand. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, hearing, they hear not. In other words, those who refuse to see will eventually have the ability and the desire to see made impossible to them. In other words, here there is a human hardening against the gospel, followed by a divine hardening. Because they hardened themselves against the message, because they rejected the light, because they resisted the truth, because they ascribed Christ's person and work to the devil, because they hardened themselves, Christ says, basically, I'm going to confirm them in their hardening. Therefore, speak I to them in parables. So, the parables had a judgmental element to them. Yes, they had a saving and a revealing element, but they also had a judgmental element, a punitive element. They were sent in grace to seekers. They were sent in judgment to those who were resisting and rejecting the message. Those who were refusing the light, in other words, Christ was going to darken them further. And the quote from Isaiah confirms this. This is a quote that's given 6 times in the New Testament. Isaiah's commission to go and preach in such a way that his preaching will harden the hearers, blind them, deafen them, and harden them. This people's heart, he says, is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. The people in Isaiah's day were a type of the people in Christ's day. And therefore, God dealt with them in a way which would be paralleled throughout history. They had hardened themselves against the message of God and his prophets. And so he eventually sent a prophet whose preaching would confirm their hardening and would finalize their hardening and make their salvation irretrievable and impossible. And Jesus is saying they are just a type of this day, and they're a type of every day, and they're a type of this day. As Israel in the old, so Israel in the new, so people today. And this is a solemn truth. The hardening effect of the gospel. Whosoever hath not, whosoever has no interest, whosoever has no curiosity, whosoever doesn't raise a question about spiritual things, whosoever doesn't think about spiritual things, whosoever hears sermons and does nothing with them, who has books in his house and never reads them, who has God's people all around him but never questions them, whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Human hardening followed by divine hardening. It's interesting the way that this is put in one of the other Gospels. In Matthew's Gospel, the human responsibility is emphasized. You'll notice it says, I speak to them in parables because they don't see. In other words, Jesus speaks in parables because of his hearers' self-blinding. But when we turn to Mark, who gives another account of this, in Mark chapter 4, verse 12, what we have here is all these things are done in parables that, in order that, seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. This emphasizes the divine sovereignty side of this solemn truth. Jesus speaks in parables in Matthew because of his hearers' self-blinding. Jesus speaks in parables in Mark 4 in order to blind his hearers. Jesus speaks in parables in Matthew to harden those who have hardened themselves. Jesus speaks in parables in Mark to harden his hearers. One of them is a cause, one of them is an effect. One of them emphasizes the human side, the human responsibility, the human blame, and the other explains the divine purpose. You can't put them together. You can't square them. You can't make a logical equation with this. You have to hold both together. The divine purpose, the divine predestination, the divine plan to harden, and yet the human responsibility for the hardening. Calvin says of this, they must endure the blame of their own blindness and hardness. The whole blame lies on themselves in altogether refusing admission to the truth. And we need not wonder if that which ought to have led them to salvation becomes the cause of their destruction. He hardens those who have hardened themselves. When of their own accord, and after repeated threats and promises, people reject the Lord and spurn his messages, then he hardens them in order that those who are not willing to repent will not be able to repent or be forgiven. And so we have two sides to the parables. It's like the pillar of cloud in the Old Testament. On the one side, it gave comfort to the Israelites. On the other side, it confounded and confused the Egyptians. The same light can give direction to one person and dazzle and blind another. As Jesus says here, whosoever hath, to him shall be given. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Belief. Questions, interest, curiosity leads to further knowledge and faith and growth. But whosoever has none of these things, unbelief leads to greater ignorance, a loss even of knowledge acquired, knowledge not acted upon, truth not obeyed, leads to greater ignorance and greater darkness. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even what he seems, as Luke says, to have. So a parable is like a shell. It's a shell which only the diligent can get to the fruit of. Only the diligent can benefit from. Parables will benefit nobody if they just go with the surface meaning. They have to be penetrated with questions and curiosity and interest. The great question for you this evening is, have you blessed eyes or have you blinded eyes? Do you have an interest or have you no interest? If you have that interest, if you are seeking, ascribe it all to the grace of God. If you're hard, if you're disinterested, if you're not seeking, ascribe it all to yourself. Blame nobody but yourself. Your failure to profit from the word, your failure to use the means available, your failure to ask questions, to pursue lines of inquiry. All the blame is yours. All the responsibility is heaped upon your shoulders. Isn't that a solemn truth? A solemn thought? You might look at yourself and say, well, I know a lot more about the Bible than anybody else. Many other people out there don't go to church. But even what you have will be taken away if you don't use it. To whomsoever much is given, much shall be required. If you're here tonight and as you look at your soul, you see nil interest. You see a total absence of curiosity and questions. Oh, friend, beware. It behoves you to go straight to your knees and to start pleading with the Lord, not to harden you in that unbelief, not to make your salvation irretrievable and impossible. Go to Him and say, Lord, I've heard so much. I've read so much. I've had a godly upbringing. And here I am today, none the wiser. So much light has shone around me, and I've never expressed an interest. I've not made the slightest bit of progress for years and years and years. What I have, I'm afraid, is going to be taken away from me. Yes, I'm coming to church. Yes, I'm in the pew. But look at my soul. It's dead. It's hard. I have no interest. I don't desire to seek the Lord at all. Kindle within me what I don't have. Give to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Give me the sight. Give me the hearing. Give me the desires and the longings that I know are not in my soul. And harden me not in my unbelief. Make that your prayer. Go to Him and say, my eyes are blinded. I'm like the vast multitudes who heard that story and walked out after verse 9, none the wiser. Make me like one of these disciples who came and said, why do you speak in parables? What's the meaning of this? Teach me. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Give me blessed eyes. Give me to see. Give me to hear. Give me to understand. And if you're here tonight and you've been blessed with a desire, with a seeking, with a thirst and a hunger, how thankful you should be. Ascribe all the glory to God. And use the light you have to find Him. Whose life eternal. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we are sinful creatures, and left to ourselves we would be just like the vast majority. And we thank Thee that for many of us the day came when we began to ask, why and how and who and when. We thank Thee for the day that we began to ask, what must I do to be saved? That we began to ask, who is this Christ? That we began to ask, where am I going? What am I doing here? Who is God? We thank Thee for these parables that have stimulated so much interest over the years. We pray that thou wouldst bless these simple stories, teaching the most profound truths. We pray that thou wouldst open many eyes to see Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.